So they make it worse, then they throw them in jail and they put them in the stock, so it's not good. Right? They clamp their feet together, they're already like, you know, beaten to who knows within inches of death. Jailer clamps them up and they're just uncomfortable in these stocks. If you kind of picture the old stocks, and they put people in like this way, their feet are spread apart. It's this terrible situation. And it says this, they're in jail. It says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And I love this sort of idea, if we could just capture this for a little bit this morning. Around midnight, right? Around midnight, like in the darkest of the night, and this is where you find out about your theology. This is where we find our theology, right? It's in the darkest of night. And in the darkness, when we're going through, it's not that you learn theology. It's not like you're going to read about it, get a book about it. You discover it. You discover it. When you're really being pushed, right, in the darkest of night, in the midnight, when things are just not going well, that's when you discover really how you feel about God, really what you think about God. Right? The times when you're beaten down, when you're stuck, when you're hurting, when you've done nothing wrong, and you find yourself in a situation like this, this is where we find out what and how we believe about God. On the good days, the day-to-day, it's like, oh, God's good all the time. Like, it's easy to say that. God's got a plan. Yeah, my life's great. God's got a plan. But what about these other times? What about midnight? What about in the darkness? Right? What about when you're feeling trapped and you're hurting and you're distressed and you don't know how you're getting out of something? Right? How do we feel about God then? That's when we discover our theology. And we see Paul and Silas here. They're praying and they're singing hymns. They're praying and they're worshiping. They're not complaining, at least that we catch. They're not fighting with each other. Or they're not blaming one another. They're praising God. Even in their pain, right? God was not far from Paul and Silas. Even the challenge of the situation, they say, Paul, God is near us. Tertullian, he's a second century Christian theologian, said this about this commentary about this passage. He says, the legs feel nothing in the stocks when the heart is in heaven. Right? The legs feel nothing in the stocks when the heart is in heaven. And it's kind of a nice idea, but I'm thinking about, like, do they really feel nothing? No, probably not. Right? Hurting still hurts. Hurting still hurts. Whatever you're going through, it's real. Yeah, God is good. He's got a plan. It still hurts. It can still hurt. Are we better when we go through something with God than without? I think so. I've been there. I've been in midnights. I've been in some dark nights. I prefer to have God with me, even though I don't understand everything. And it says this as we read on. It says the prisoners were listening to them. The prisoners were listening to them. These guys get thrown in jail. You know, they're almost beat to death. They're stripped down. They're put in the stocks. And these guys are praying and worshiping and singing hymns and praising God. And that would have been a really strange sound to the other prisoners. Like, they probably didn't hear a lot of that. But what a witness to the goodness of God. What a witness to their theology about God. And they're in that moment. They can't do much, but they can praise. Like, here I am, use me. Here I am, use me. And that's for all of us, wherever we are. We can open our mouth and praise. We can connect with God. We can give God his due. And even in those darkest moments, I see that in the darkest moments, we might still praise and bless and cling to God. Right? That we might even sing. This is a challenge for us. Right? In the midst of the storms, because some of us are in some real storms. You're in some real darkness. You're like, yeah, I get that. Midnight. I've been in midnight for a while. It's long and it's dark. It's hard. But what an opportunity as well. When we walk through the challenges, right, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that we might, you know what, still trust God. I'm still praying to God. I'm still praising God. I'm still blessing God. Right, in the midst of all these things, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of brokenness, we praise God. And we're going through this stuff now, right? We're getting this all crazy stuff in the news every day, and we're in the midst of Biden and Trump again, and it's just, you know, people are lighting themselves on fire, and it's just wild, right? But where are we rooted? All right, does that kind of stuff move us around? Are we rooted in God? And you see this about Paul and Silas. Like, hey, yeah, that was unfortunate that happened to them. Still praising God. Still blessing God. Still being a witness to God where they were. Right, such an opportunity for us in the midst of life's storms and we get battered around that we might say, hey, you know what? Still praising God. I'm still praising God. And again, not that it doesn't hurt. Not that it isn't difficult. But it's just centering ourselves on God who's deserving. And I think about the prisoners in this situation, like, you know, they're just singing these hymns and they're, you know, they're praying and they just seem like they're fine. And the prisoners are like, man, but don't you care that you're in prison? And they'd be like, yeah, we do kind of course. We don't want to be here, right? Aren't you hurting? Yeah, I'm pretty uncomfortable here right now. It hurts. Right? Do you think God even hears your prayers? Yeah, we think he does. Do you think he's going to get you out of this? We don't know. Right? Aren't you worried about what they'll do to you tomorrow? Sure, a little. But the closer we draw to God, in these kind of moments, the further we are from the spiral of the situation. Right? Which is a difference. Right? We can walk through hardship without it consuming us. And hardship here does not seem to consume Paul. Again, doesn't change the situation. Not saying that situation is easy or light. But as we draw close to God, it keeps us from that spiral of the circumstance. And some of us have been there. Right? Whatever's happening, it's just taking you to, it's consumed you. You're just lost and spinning around the spiral. Anchoring and praising God anchors us to him. And keeps us from getting stuck in that spot. Again, situation can be hard. Doesn't always change that. But it helps us get through that. And the posture here, I love that they're singing these hymns and they're worshiping in a very challenging situation. Because right? They're doing what's right. Even maybe they don't feel like it. Like, I don't know. Were they super stoked to be there? Like, oh, this is awesome. Let's just praise God. Like no. God is deserving. Right? It's about doing what's right even when we don't feel like it. And sometimes this is kind of weird, but fake it till you make it. Right? Fake it till you feel it. Sometimes our emotions lead our posture. Right? So this is the baseball game. Something exciting happens and your team hits a home run or is a good catch, a good play. You stand up and arms go in the air. Right? That emotion leads to changing posture, changing your physical behavior. You shout. Right? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it happens in worship. Right? You're just kind of overwhelmed, like, man, my hands are going in the air. I'm feeling it. But sometimes our posture and our actions can lead our emotions. Our posture can lead our emotions. I mean, Noah and I were going to talk about this last week. Sometimes we push through. We push through in worship. We push through in prayer. We push through in community, even when we don't feel like it, because we know it's right. And as we engage in those things, sometimes the emotions follow. Often they will. Change your posture. I'm feeling down. Stand up. Take a deep breath. It changes things. So there's an exercise in this for us, even in worship. In worship, we do the right thing. I feel like I'm get involved. I feel like reading my Bible. Man, I don't know. Try to do a page. Listen to it. Push through those things. Again, I don't know exactly their headspace here. I'm sure they were tired. It's the middle of the night. They've had a long day. They're beaten with wooden rods. Listen, you know what? We're going to worship. Because it's the right thing to do. I was down at the Ventura Pier last night visiting Amy at Made West, and I see this guy come in. I was kind of at the bar, and he was outside somewhere with his family, and this guy comes in, young family, and I didn't hear exactly what he said, but I could see he was asking for a broom and a dustpan, and I could see Amy and some of the protests, yeah, we'll get it, what happened? He's kind of like, I got it. And he takes this broom and his dustpan, and he goes out, and he cleans up his mess. He's young kids, and he just put food all over the floor, I guess. I didn't see it, but I went out later, and I said, man, thank you for doing that. And I asked him, are you a fireman by chance? He's like, yeah, I am. And so on your fireman. I've seen Eric Gillane do that. Preston's good about that. But he cleans up. And I was like, man, that's really cool to see you do that. And I'm just kind of like, we're happy to clean up. Now listen, I wasn't going to clean up. I don't even work there. So I'm like, we are happy to clean up, right? But I was like, he's like, no, we're doing it. We made the mess. It's the right thing to do. And part of eating out sometimes is not cleaning up, right? Isn't that sometimes why we go out? I'm not cleaning up. But he's like, you know what? It's part of being human. It's made a huge mess on the ground. We're going to clean it up. Did he feel like it? Probably not. Is it easiest to kind of walk away? Sure. Could someone else do it? Yeah, of course. But it was sort of the right thing. He's like, yeah, it's the right thing to do. It's very, very black and white for this guy. And I appreciated that about him. I said, thank you, man. Because, you see it all, this stuff. And this is not to come down on anyone who doesn't clean up. But it was just like, you know what? I made a mess. I'm going to go get the room. I'm going to clean it up. Could I have left? Could he have left? Sure. Did he have to do it? No. Would someone else have done it afterwards? Of course, right? But it's the right thing. And worship and our spiritual practices follow that suit, right? It's not all about feelings. Feelings are part of it. We are feeling kind of people. Right? We're more feelers now than ever, right? This is feeling generation. Right? Probably as a reaction to a generation that said, ignore your feelings. But now we just feel everything. We don't only go by feelings, which is fine sometimes. But it's also about this. Hey, we're pushing through. We're worshiping. I'm beat down. So this is going on at midnight. They're singing and they're praying. And I'm sure they're, you know, asking God, like, hey, if there's any way out of this, great. If there's not, that's cool too. And it says, suddenly there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundation. And all the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, stop, don't kill yourself, we're all here. All right, and consider that moment, it's a very interesting moment. Right? The jailer is just doing his job. Right? He threw him in there, someone told him to watch him, chained him up, he's doing his job. These guys are worshiping and praying, and this miracle happens. Right? All these people are going to get, are maybe going to get free, but it's going to cost this guy his life. It's kind of an interesting like way to think about where he's coming from. But Paul's like, whoa, hold on, we're all still here. We're all still here. We didn't leave. And he goes on and has this conversation with the jailer. The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he'll go on to say that Paul and Silas will spend time with this man's household, and then the next day they're eventually released. They didn't just run off from there. But the work that God does in this prison to reach this household is amazing. Again, did they orchestrate that? Did they want to be put in the stocks and beat down in jail? Probably not, right? Probably not. Think about the hard things you've gone through in life. I think about this stuff like myself. I was thinking about this week. Some of those challenges that we've had, like early on, we're young married and no money, like just struggling, just in tears and parking lots, like don't know how I'm going to buy diapers. And like I look back and like, man, part of me is like, man, I'm grateful for that experience, but I never want to do it again, right? I don't want to do that again. Right? God will lead us into stuff in the time. It's like, man, this is terrible. You get away from it, like, all right, I can kind of see something there. I see maybe what God was doing there. Maybe it was character. Maybe it was to reach somebody. And we never know. But Paul and Silas are willing to be available in the moment. Like, man, they're going through it, but we're going to praise, and we're going to sing, and we're going to be good witnesses to God, and we'll see what happens. And the prisoners listen. This jailer gets saved. That's incredible. God does an amazing work there. And praise, when we think about it, this goes for prayer as well. It's not a transaction. Like, well, if I do this, then maybe God will do this. And that's how we operate, right? That's our human economics. If I do this, then I get this. This is love. This is relationships. It's subconscious even. All the things. If I do this, then I'll get this. It's really not that way. Now, if you praise and you pray to God and give him his due, hey, I'm going to believe you're going to be blessed. But that's not the agenda. Right, Paul and Silas, I don't believe they were just praising because, like, well, if we praise God hard enough, he'll get us out of the situation. It doesn't work that way. You know, God happened to get them out. He may not have in this time. Right? Praise and prayer, it's just because. Chris Tomlin says this about worship. I may have read it last week, but worship isn't a feeling you wait for. It's a choice you make. And it's just so true. And this is every day we wake up. Where are we going to be? How am I gonna interact with God? How am I gonna interact with my coworker? What's the choice I'm gonna make to love my wife and my kids? It's not just a feeling we wait for. I'm not really feeling it today. It's this choice you make. Now the worship team come up. We'll spend a little time in worship as we close out. And worship helps us see where we are, right? Sees where we are, like in the universe, in the grand scheme of things. Helps us see who we are, right? Because we're putting ourselves under God and whose we are. Right, and enables us to be used by God and to share his love, even in our darkest hour. It's just an incredible, this story of people like, oh my gosh, could it get any worse? And like, I don't know, maybe, but we're just going to praise God. And we're praising God here. So I encourage you as we close out with a couple songs, just wherever you are, maybe you're in a good place, I hope you are, and lean into God. Like, here I am, God, use me. You're in a hard place, you just barely can muster like the standard or a word, like, man, push forward. Just push forward. Just sit in it. Just be in it. Just rest in it. Open up the mouth and praise because he's due. If God is who he is, right? If there is a God and this is the God of the universe and this is the God we study, and people have been doing this for a long time, he's just worthy. It's just because. Well, why? Because, right? My mom used to say it all the time. Anyone's mom say that? Why? Because. Because. It's just because. Because I am. God, thank you for who you are. As we worship you now, Lord, as we sit with you, we receive you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come upon us. That's just my prayer. Wherever we need to be met this morning, Lord, Holy Spirit, come and touch our hearts. In your name, amen.